Certainly glad to see everybody out this morning. We sure are going to miss Robbie today. If you'd like to be turning in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we're going to be talking about hope this morning. got the call sometime yesterday that Robbie was under the weather, and hopefully that's a temporary thing, but we sure appreciate the work that he does, and if you've ever taken on a task like this, you understand what goes into it. Managed to put this problem, sometimes I'll spend 10, 15, maybe 20 hours preparing a lesson. This was probably more like 10, 15, 20 minutes. So, but anytime you're talking about God's Word, it's a good topic, and it's hard to go wrong. So we're going to be talking about hope this morning. Kind of keep your finger maybe on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We're going to be coming back to that several times. Kind of the central theme of this morning's lesson. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you in a reason of the hope that is in you, and with meekness and fear. There's a lot in this passage, a lot of things we can take from it, a lot of different lessons, a lot of sermons we can preach. We're gonna concentrate this morning on the word hope. And what that means to us as Christians, what it means to each other, what it means to the community looking at us from outside. It's just an important cornerstone of our Christian walk. And let's think about something. What is hope? What does it really mean to us? We can read here from the Merriam-Webster description. Let's see, and I missed. Yeah, there it is. To want something to happen to be true, or be true. To cherish or desire with anticipation. We hope for a lot of things in our Christian life and in our lives just in general. Why is this so important to us? Jesus and the apostles often taught using examples. Things that people knew about, things that people were familiar with, and one thing that was kind of universal is agriculture. You know, the faith of a mustard seed, or you know, it's or a grain of salt. You know, these examples of things that come from our natural world are things that most people have a pretty good basic understanding of. And so, here in the Big Blue Nation, sometimes we talk about UK basketball. Because that's something people understand and are passionate about. Did anybody watch the game yesterday with Arkansas? I see a few nods. What would happen if that 2 minutes with an 8-point lead, that the players lost hope, they lost faith, they lost the expectation they were going to win that game? There'd be a bloodbath in that last 2 minutes, wouldn't it? These players have to believe right until the final buzzer that they're going to win that game. Both teams. Because if they ever lose that expectation, that hope, the game's over. I know a lot of you like to hunt and fish. Do you go hunting with the hope that you're going to have a successful hunt, that there's going to be some sort of a harvest from that hunt or that fishing trip? Oftentimes I'll ask myself, am I going to go even if I know I'm not going to get a deer or a rabbit or a duck or whatever it is I'm hunting, and usually the answer is yes, I'm going to go regardless. But if I get one, it's neat to put that in the freezer and have that successful hunt. But you go with the hope that you're going to have, it's going to be a productive effort. Same thing with our jobs or schoolwork. Or, you know, I know Mike and Steven plant crops with the hope and the expectation that those crops are going to yield a great harvest and a good income for them come fall. We have that hope in our lives. It's just a part of everyday life. If we're sick, we hope to get better. If we're well, we hope to be productive and have a good day and make good things happen. Well, how is this different from our spiritual lives? We read in Hebrews chapter 6, I want to make sure I got the right verse here. I got the wrong one pulled up, I think. Let me check and see here. There we go. Verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 6 reads, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." We think about a ship that is maybe anchored off the coast of a destination. That ship is sitting there and it's anchored to the bottom of the ocean. Or your boats, maybe your bass boats, anchored to a tree. This keeps you from drifting away, keeps you from banging into the shore. It keeps you where you need to be. Well, hope is our anchor of the soul, as we read here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It keeps us sure. It keeps us steadfast. It keeps us where we need to be. And we keep that hope, that anchor, by days like today, where we come together, we study, we learn, we sing praise to God. I call it recalibrating our compass. We make sure we're on the right path because we come to services, we learn, we hear, we study, we sing, and we lift each other up. And if we're having a hard time on something, oftentimes we'll catch somebody out in the parking lot, kind of maybe venting or telling their story and patting each other on the back, maybe sharing a hug. There's just a lot of ways that our hope is manifested here at Providence in Quail, Kentucky, 2020. There's a saying that Dustin referred to in his prayer about keeping your eye on the prize. And there's another, and if I remember right, that's a boxing statement. And you've got to keep your eye on what you're trying to achieve. That's what hope does for you. Another phrase is champions begin by showing up. It's kind of a basic principle. How do you get something out of church services this morning? You start by coming. You start by being here. And folks struggle with that sometimes. I just don't get anything out of going to church. Well, one way to make sure you don't get anything is don't come. And so we want to maintain our hope and our anchor, because that's very important to us as a Christian and our Christian walk. We have an anchor of our soul. Does everyone have hope? We read from 1 John chapter 3, and this is a passage that we're familiar with, but it helps to be reminded sometimes. Little children, let no man deceive you. That he that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Does everyone have hope? Unfortunately, no. You know, we hear these statements in our world that, you know, old Bob was a fine fella. He took care of his neighbors and fed his family and you know, pretty good fella. And you know, he'll pass away and his funeral will just be, they'll just preach him right into heaven. But, you know, the Bible teaches us in so many passages that in order to have hope, we have to do the will of God. We have to follow. We have to become a Christian. We have to take that Christian walk. And it doesn't mean we have to be perfect. None of us are. But we have to, as we studied in the Bible study this morning, we have to put off the old man. We have to put on the new. That's from Colossians 3 there. And we have to accept the gift of salvation that Jesus gives us. That's one thing that Jesus is different about from all the other world religions, is He invites you to accept His gift. He'll never force it on you. God will never force you to be a Christian. You do this out of your own free will. And we as Christians know that we have hope because we have accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and we have made Him part of our lives, and we try the best we can to follow. Again, nobody's perfect, but we need to be willing to do those things. I lost my screen here, so I've got to kind of keep up with my phone. Time's out if I don't change it so often. Philippians 4:13 reads, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Revelations 14:13 reads, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." A common passage at funerals is that, and we can take a certain amount of celebration. You know, we sometimes call it a celebration of life. Whenever a Christian who's served, been a valiant soldier for the way of the Lord for so many years, whenever they pass away, he or she, there's a blessing there. There's something to be thankful for. And we know that if we do God's will, that we'll see them again someday. And there is something to be happy about. You know, we buried my father a few weeks ago, and there's a sad time. We're heartbroken. But I wouldn't ask him back for $1 million because he's getting his blessing. He's worked hard for that. And to my knowledge, and I know him pretty well, there's a lot to be thankful for his life there. And so we hope that can be said about us whenever we pass from this world, that blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. So we want that to be a goal. Part of the putting on of the new man that we studied about in the Bible study this morning. Another common passage that we need to be reminded of sometimes is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, rather. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Times like this morning are important because we get together, we rightly divide the gospel, we study, and I think that there's something to be said for, even if we're wrong, if we've studied a passage and we believe that we're doing right, and we teach and we have arrived at a conclusion, I think it's very likely that regardless of how hard we study the Bible, there's going to be something we've misunderstood and maybe a little off track there. And we serve a mighty God. We serve a wise God and a fair God. And these things, I think that the blood of Christ gives us salvation and forgiveness for some of those shortcomings. Whenever we're absolutely trying to do the best we can, and we're rightly dividing the Word of God, and that a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a lot of comfort in that. If we can look ourselves in the mirror and say, "I am doing the best I can with the information that I have, and I've studied, and I believe this is how this affects my life," there's a comfort there. And I mean, in no way to insinuate that compromising the word of God is okay, but there's something to be thankful for there, for having the Scripture, for spending mornings like this studying and learning and not being ashamed of what we've decided upon. Are we ready? And we can go back to the first slide, the first Scripture that we discussed this morning. Are we ready to explain the hope that is in us. If we face God today, would we be able to say that we have rightly divided the Word of God? If we meet our neighbor, and I've met people that come to know me and they say, there's something just a little bit different about you. And this is my answer, is that yes, I've got a hope. I've got a plan. I've got something in me that some other people may not have. That's a tremendous comfort. And it's a cornerstone of our faith and our walk with God. Do we have that hope? That are we ready to explain that to others? We often talk about, and again, this morning in the study, we talked about we want to grow. We want to grow both in numbers. We want to grow both in wisdom. We want to grow in every way here at Providence. If we're ready to explain this to others, we have, last Sunday morning, we had 94 preachers in attendance. Probably about what we have this morning. We are all evangelists. We are all ministers. We can all be ready to give, to explain our hope that we have. And when other people see that in us, they're going to want a part of it. They're going to want to be a part of that. They're going to want to participate. They're going to realize they can have hope too. We can all have hope. Do you have hope this morning? Have you prepared yourself, your life, so that you can go to heaven if you pass away this afternoon? Have we prepared ourselves to answer that question? We have some steps that we can begin that journey this morning. We read from the passage, from the passage we need to hear, as we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 there. We need to believe, as we read in the passage in the Bible study this morning from John 3:16. Just one of the steps. It needs to be an active belief that calls us to take action. We need to repent of our sins, as is taught in Acts 17, verse 30. We need to confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as taught in Romans 10:10. And then be baptized for remission of our sins, as taught in many different passages, such as Mark 16:15, Acts 2:38, and many other passages throughout the Bible. It may be that you started on that journey, but you failed, that you stumbled, that you brought maybe shame upon yourself. So the passage we read, that we should not be ashamed. But if we brought that kind of shame upon ourselves and upon the church, it may be that you need the prayers of the saints here at Providence. James 5:16 teaches us to pray one for another. If any of these steps that you would like to take this morning, we'd love for you to come forth and make your wishes known as we stand and sing the invitation song.